Every year, there's something new in the world of PT and training, from Jefferson curls to RDLs to even ice baths. But what's just a passing trend, and what's truly effective? In this episode of Rad or Fad, we're dissecting the latest phrases to hit the industry, exploring whether these trendy techniques are just hype or if they have the power to revolutionize your practice. Are ice baths and saunas just a cool trend, or do they bring results? How about complex systems like PRI and Shirley Sauerman's methods? It's time to separate the fads from the fundamentally rad practices that get patients results.
What's up, guys? I'm Doc Raj.
And I'm Doc Caitlin.
This is the Performance Rehab Authority Podcast. What are some recent trends in training protocols, Con Ed, or tools that have been widely hyped up? What are your views on people that don't particularly think form matters?
Well, I think that's a fad. I think form absolutely does matter. Now, there's going to be a difference between a 1RM lift and something that's really light, but that doesn't mean that all form should go to shit when we're lifting something really heavy.
Yeah, I think there's more context to be had, right? Like when people say the way you move doesn't matter. Like, yeah, when you're picking up a piece of paper from the ground, it shouldn't matter. When you're picking up a 40-pound barbell, form does matter. That is definitely a fad, and that is like on the pain science train of things. I'm like, well, that's all in your head. I think going too far down that rabbit hole or too far to one end of the spectrum is never a good thing. And pain science is very real, and that is definitely very rad, but going so far down to the end, it doesn't matter how you move. If you're going to get injured, you're going to get injured. Like changing the way you move doesn't help. That's a fad. How many times do we have people that come in here that pick things up a certain way and we get them to move a different way and they don't have pain?
Yeah, mechanical stressors, and we'll get to that when we start talking maybe a little bit more about what's rad, but how you move does matter. That is rad. So the opposing view of how you move, it doesn't matter. I think that's just a polarizing topic and people like to be different and take things to the extreme. And that is exactly that. It's an extreme. Before we were talking about how it's a fad, about how you move doesn't matter. And really what's rad is how you move matters. When people come in to Move Athletics, we are constantly talking to them about the way that they move, about the way that they should move, and teaching them the mechanical stressors. So I really just want to emphasize this over and over and over again, that the way that you move matters. The way that you move could keep you in pain, or the way that you move could get you out of pain.
If you fall asleep hugging a pillow and your wrist is bent down like this, with a little pressure on it all night, we're going to consider that how you move. That's a position. You've moved yourself there. You're hanging out there. Do you think when you wake up in the morning your wrist is going to hurt? Probably. Do you think it matters what exercises and stretches you do if you keep moving out and moving into this position and staying there? Probably not. Probably going to keep hurting. So if you think it doesn't matter, well, I'm going to tell you it does, because when I sleep like that, I wake up, my wrist hurts. Yeah, it gets clicks, it gets views, it gets likes, but in the end, it causes people pain. Just like Jefferson curls. Jefferson curls are a fad, at least like super loaded Jefferson curls. The mechanism of injury for a herniated disc is load and flexion. And I get the thought process, and I've actually used Jefferson curls, right? Which is maybe hypocritical compared to what I just said. That's not the right word, but whatever. But it was a very light weight, and it's unloaded, or like I said, a very light weight, just getting people to move and trust their back. We're not training and loading up Jefferson curls. Again, that goes back to how you move doesn't matter. Then if Jefferson curls, you should be training them and lifting them heavy. Like, what is the point of bracing your spine during a deadlift? What is the point of a deadlift, right? Like,
yeah, I think Jefferson curls is a fad as related to the strength training aspect of it. Teaching people that they shouldn't be afraid to move their bodies and that they can get into those positions of lumbar flexion and rounding their back, and teaching them so that they aren't just afraid to move their bodies, I think that's rad. But the way that the Jefferson curl has been utilized in the physical therapy industry, totally fad.
I think the fact that it has a name in and of itself is a fad, right? A Jefferson curl is just how I pick things up when I don't have to brace my spine because it's not a threat. Giving it a name in training it, that's a fad,
Right? It's like, lumbar flexion.
Yeah, like, we're okay, yes, lumbar flexion is safe. No, you should not be loading it. I think it's funny because there's some people out there that have talked about this. Let's I'm not one for like talking shit about anybody, but it's just a fact that Adam Meekins made a video about how form doesn't matter. And guess what? The next week he blew out his back doing Jefferson curls. So maybe it does matter. Maybe it does matter just a little bit. What else is this fact? How do you feel about toes elevated RDLs?
I think those are also a fad. If we look at the position of the nerves that go from our back all the way down into our feet, and you get somebody, especially somebody who's maybe a little bit neural tension sensitive, and we elevate their toes and then we start doing these RDLs, what do you think is going to happen to those nerves if we know that this is a position of neural tension and now we're elevating the toes and loading it?
Yeah, so, I mean, that comes back down to pulling your toes back when you stretch your hamstrings, right? Everybody knows that if you pull your toes back when you stretch your hamstrings, you get more of a hamstring stretch. You feel more stretch there, you feel more tension, but that doesn't do anything to your hamstring. When you add that dorsiflexion, the only thing it does is add more tension on the nervous system, and that's what the toes elevated RDL does. It just adds tension to the nervous system, which is a fad, right?
Yeah,
there's plenty of people that get injured coming in here and they're like, well, I was doing these toes elevated RDLs and now my back hurts. And we look at their training program and we're like, oof, maybe stop doing that.
Yeah, if you want to make an RDL harder or more effective, look at where the hamstrings originate and insert and look at your mechanics and your position with them. Not position of the ankle, by the way.
Well, the thought process there with a lot of people is like that helps with the posterior weight shift. Elevate the toes, it's going to push people a little bit more posterior, it's going to load the hamstrings more, and maybe it's effective, but at what cost, right? Is there a better way that's not putting people's nervous systems in a vulnerable position? And maybe we just can teach people to move better, right? Give them different modifications or scales, if you will, to be able to accomplish that goal. Time under tension. Tempo, basic strength training principles, which, by the way, are rad.
If there's an issue with the weight shift in an RDL, just put a band around your hips, attach it to a rig behind you so that it's pulling you posteriorly, and you have to engage your glutes, your hamstrings, your posterior chain in general a little bit more as you're coming up into that hip extension, and you'll feel it a lot more.
And if you're triggered by these, by the way, good.
So what else? What do you think about some of the overly complex systems? So when we're talking about complex systems like this, these are maybe schools of thought that have to do with, oh, if you move a very, very specific way and they're training tiny, tiny movements and using lasers on a wall, if we start breaking movements down to that small of a movement pattern, how on earth do you think people are going to be able to then carry that over into their running form?
I think really complex movement systems like PRI, for example. Yeah, there's a lot of very successful clinicians with PRI. It's just overly complicated for no reason. Unless you've gone through the PRI system, like nobody has any idea what you're talking about, right? Other clinicians that aren't familiar with PRI, like, you're speaking a different language. How do you think patients feel when you talk to them about this stuff? It's a great way to make a patient dependent on you and feel like, oh man, I need their help because they have so much knowledge. But we like to operate in a very different methodology of really empowering our patients and giving them the tools and simplifying things to make it make sense of like, oh, 1 + 1 = 2. Like, that's really simple. I can understand that. 1 + 2 = 3, and after 3 comes 4, and it's like, it's literally that simple where people are empowered to understand how the way they're moving is affecting them and like what exactly the purpose of every step of training along the way is without overcomplicating things.
Yeah, I think teaching, and that's the key word is teaching, people a system and not a series of magical exercises they're going to have to do forever. So like there's no magical exercise for anyone's rehab. And I mean, that's just a statement that's true. So if we look at things like anterior tib raises, which we can get to in a minute, which is definitely a fad, that doesn't teach anybody anything outside of the clinic other than how to do an anterior tib raise. How is that going to help whatever injury that you have? It's the education, it's the why, it's the how to move and how to make all these improvements throughout your day so that you can impact your life outside of this one mechanical exercise.
Yeah, and actually having a reason for that exercise from a thorough evaluation and thought process that makes sense, that exercise is actually going to impact their injury. And it's not just because, oh, somebody said, if I see this, then I do that. That's like, well, because they have pain from their anterior tibialis, right? Like when they're running, we need to promote blood flow and gain some strength there. Okay, cool. Maybe that I can buy into. But then the next level also, like maybe we need to look at the way that they're running as well. So we need to build some capacity and tissue tolerance. Great. But then you got freaking Andrew Huberman out here saying that tibialis anterior tib raises cured his sciatica. And that's just not even possible, right? It is just, there's so many correlation, not causation things, right, that go on. If we take a step back and we go back to the overly complex systems and we talk about Shirley Sarman, PRI, Shirley Sarman, all these complex things, you can learn from everybody, right? There's definitely things that we take and we use from these different thought processes. But if you go, again, too far down the one end of the spectrum of saying the way you move doesn't matter, that's too far, and you come back over and you're like, these little quarter millimeter like movements, we need to be here, not here. And it's like, you can't even see that my hand's moving on the camera probably.
So I've seen a lot of people say, for instance, with the Shirley Sarman methods that are really helpful because they're trained in functional movement patterns and movement impairments. But then when we're talking about all these little quarter minute movements, that can be helpful in the beginning of rehab, teaching somebody how to stabilize, teaching somebody where they're maybe a little bit off with their movement patterns. But then what's lacking is the progression. People stay on the table. They stay doing this one standing balance exercise. Where's the performance aspect in that? Connect the dots for me so that we can actually get people beyond rehab and out of the recurrent pain cycle.
That's a great point. I mean, like I said, we take a lot of things from lots of schools of thought and we use them. There's a time and a place for certain things. You definitely can't go through a whole rehab process just on the table and doing these things. These people need to be lifting. And I mean, if they want to get to running, they need to be running in the rehab, right? So keeping people on a table is a fad. Using your magical hands to fix everything, coming from a two-time fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Physical Therapists, using your magical hands to fix everything is like, that's a fad. So what do we think is rad? How about that?
A lot of boring shit that gets real results is rad. There's no magical solution. There's no magical exercise. It's the boring shit that gets the results. It's like people who want to lose weight and they're constantly looking for that magic pill. There is no pill. It's diet and exercise. It's not eating shit and working hard. Like, it's all math.
It's consistency. It's like that guy on Instagram, the booty booty bop guy that does the belly dance that makes millions of dollars, right? Because he just does the same boring fucking thing over and over and over, and he's really good at it. And that's what happens is people get bored in their practice and they look for like this new hot flashy thing. And that's what happens. They're like, oh shit, like this is kind of cool. So it's a complex system. Like that seems so cool. I'm going to go learn that, right? But hey, going back to, are you looking at your patient's nutrition? Are you talking to them about sleep, stress management, hydration, consistency? Are you applying basic strength training principles that have been around since, I don't know, the beginning of strength training?
Right? And how much do you know about all of those topics? As the experts on human movement and performance, we should be talking about hydration, nutrition, sleep, stress. So if you don't know principles of performance and strength conditioning, if you don't know about sleep hygiene or about basic nutrition, there's probably a gap somewhere in your game.
Linear progression, that's pretty rad. You know what else is pretty rad? Asking for help. I think that's pretty rad when you're struggling with a patient. Letting it be known, like a coworker, mentor, whatever, friends. Hey, I got this person I'd love to get your thoughts on. That's pretty rad, like using other people's knowledge to help get better results. I think seeking out mentorship continually, whether it's clinical, business, a therapist, right? Some of you guys need therapists. We all need therapists, let's be real. That's pretty rad.
I was in the clinic the other day and I called Roger over because he had a second. I had a question with a patient. You know, we were doing things and she was flared up and we were working on calming things down, getting her feeling a little bit better. I knew the mechanism, but I was like, huh, is there something that can help her more to get more out of pain than what we're doing right now? And so Roger had a free second. I called him over and we worked together to get over a little bit of hump.
Yeah, and we actually have time built into our schedule weekly to just discuss cases in the clinic so we can work together as a team on every single case in the clinic as needed.
I think that's rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teamwork. Don't like go it alone. Going at it alone is a fucking fad. Being a lone wolf, you didn't get anywhere by being a lone wolf. You can claim that you are doing all of this yourself, but I mean, Alex Hormozi says this all the time. He's somebody that we listen to. It's like you are a product of everybody and everything that you've come into contact with. And so saying that you're going to do this by yourself or that you don't need anybody else and that you're self-made, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, nobody's self-made. Like, I'm not self-made. She's not self-made, right? Anybody that's come from the slums, one of our mentors, Bedros Koulian, right? He's an immigrant, for first-generation American, came from the Soviet Union. He'll tell you he's not self-made. Everybody that's ever helped you along the way, anybody that's ever answered questions, mentored you, bought things from you, like, they've all helped you out. You're not self-made.
So all that being said, you know, I rely on Roger. I rely on other people in my life. I rely on other clinicians. Like, we all help each other, and it's to better ourselves, to better our patient care. So asking for help is really cool.
Oh, we should probably touch on saunas and ice baths since we mentioned them earlier on. Total fad. Both of them. Useless. Throw them out. I'm just kidding.
We love them.
Yeah. We love ice baths. We love saunas. And if you look at it, yes, it's a little bit more fad-like right now because you see it on Instagram and like the influencers are out there talking about it. And like all the entrepreneur influencers are like, I start my day with a 97-hour morning routine of sauna and ice. Like, yeah, that shit's bullshit. But
there's a lot of science backed behind both of those.
Yeah, the benefits are rad and real. But guess what it comes with? Doing the same boring shit consistently over a long period of time.
Yeah, doing a sauna, you know, once a month or doing a cold plunge once every 3 months, like, you know, that's cool, but that's not going to change anything about your training, your recovery, or whatever.
Yeah. And again, how's your knowledge base on these things? If your patients ask you about them, can you help? Like, it's pretty rad to have the knowledge of all of that shit.
As we're educating patients, we also need to be looking at making sure that they know how to apply. You know what else is rad is looking at their training program, making sure that they're making the right modifications if they need to, or, you know, working rehab in to their training program.
Collaborating with their strength coaches. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, that way they stay consistent with it. It's realistic. It's meaningful and valuable to them because it has to do with the thing that they love. And then if they're not active because of their pain or because of whatever, it's also really cool to help them develop a fitness program if they're not already. You take an active person, you give them an injury, they stop being active. You know what generally happens is a lot of them tend to feel like they aren't themselves or they feel like they lose pieces of themselves. And it's because active adults have this identity of being an active adult, of doing the thing, of moving their body. And so then when they lose that, it's like they've lost their identity. You read Atomic Habits, that's one of my favorite books, and it goes deep into if you identify with, you know, I'm the type of person that does this, that's going to completely create a habit. And if you don't do that, like say I want to stop chewing gum, I can say, oh, I'm taking a break from chewing gum, and then still end up chewing gum because I haven't made that an identity. I'm an active person. I work out every day. It's who I am. That's going to have a more huge impact or a much bigger impact on my life than just saying something. So we have to make sure that we're replacing activity. If people are coming in with an injury, that we're taking care of everything and that we're addressing all of their, you know, pillars of who they are when they come in.
And if you guys haven't signed up for our free 3-week mini course yet, what are you waiting for? It's just 3 weeks of free knowledge to help you level up and be a better clinician. What's the URL?
It's moveathleticseducation.com/free.
And it's in the description on the YouTube video, which, by the way, if you guys aren't following us on YouTube, subscribe to us. Like, what are you doing? And remember, if you're unhappy or you're unfulfilled in your career or your life, nobody is coming to save you. It's your responsibility to lead by example, to pursue excellence, and to learn new skills.
And to welcome the challenge of raising the bar. Drive the change you want to see.